12 weeks into the Premier League season, almost a third of the campaign has already unfolded. From title contenders staking their claims to unexpected struggles and breakout stars, the first act of the season has set the tone for what promises to be a thrilling title race ahead. Hello and welcome back to The Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. As always, I'm your host, Deshawn, and joining me in studio today is English Premier League analyst Jesse Nagel.
Yeah, Desh, honored to be back here again discussing the best league in the world. Of course, I had a happy week last week. Of course, as an Arsenal supporter, stretching the gap at the top of the table, but then also in doing that, having your rivals in Manchester City, Liverpool. I'll even include Sunderland in that, all dropping points. So now it's a big one against Chelsea. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, let's actually unpack that North London derby then. A sensational display from Eberechi Eze and Co.
First hat-trick in a North London derby from a player since, I think, the 70s. You know, it's, I just realized that I came into studio this morning wearing a blue shirt, probably in the wrong colors, just to paint some visuals to our listeners as well. So, yeah, need to wear my red jacket soon as we're done with this. But yeah, Eze, what a performance, what a hat-trick. You know, there's been so many talk of Arsenal's, you know, knack for set-piece goals. Yeah. They literally scored four against their biggest rivals, all from open play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's,
you know, he they showed they can do everything. Other shot, I think Victorio did very well to get up to his left and keep it out, because that could have been his fourth goal of the fixture.
That could have been his fourth. I mean, even Eze, I think it was within the opening 2 minutes, he just did a little flick over the Tottenham defense for Declan Rice.
Yeah.
Another decent save from Vicario. So Arsenal once without chances, but at least they took them. So 4-1 is a massive statement, and now going to another London derby against another rival.
Yeah. How important was that performance for him, considering his big money move from Crystal Palace? Of course, we even know Tottenham Hotspur was heavily linked with him before Arteta came in and snatched him up.
I think that's the bigger focus, is the fact that he was so close to joining Tottenham. It was to the point where a year ago was imminent from Fabrizio Romano, and then one phone call to Eberechi Eze or to his family, whoever the phone call was made to, and whoever it is made from, shout out to you, because he turned his decision around at the final minutes and joined his boyhood club Arsenal after being released. So, you know, there's such a great story there. So super happy for him to do it at the biggest stage.
What do you think this says to players like Gabby Jesus, Kai Havertz, Victor Gyokeres, Martin Odegaard, that my colleagues, my teammates, my attacking players can put four past our biggest rivals without me?
It has to raise the level, because, you know, even Gabriel was missing. Let's not, you know, I know you mentioned all the attacking players, but arguably Arsenal's best defender in Gabriel, and, you know, I think vice-captain now as well. He was missing, and he needs to now think about this team and think, you know what, this raised the level, because Piero Hincapié came in, didn't look a foot out of place. So same with the attackers, Victor Gyokeres, Martin Odegaard, Gabriel Martinelli, Gabby Jesus, Kai Havertz, all the players you've mentioned. They need to look at this team and think, wow, I've really got to step my game up in order to get a game in this team, because everyone wants to be a part of it. Arsenal look like they're going to win the league. This team looks like they're going to go down in history. So now's the time to really write your name in the history books for the Gunners.
Yeah. This weekend, of course, it's a clash between Chelsea and Arsenal. Chelsea in second place. Arsenal currently title chasing. Arsenal pole position.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that at the start of the season, a lot of Chelsea fans thought they'd be much closer to Arsenal this season. But of course, in saying that, they probably thought Liverpool were going to run away with it again. So yes, they are a lot closer. It's just that no one would have expected it to be first and second. So yeah, Chelsea have been, you know, full value for their spot in the league. They're second now, 6 points off Arsenal. Impressive performance in midweek against Barcelona.
Yeah.
Estevao.
Yeah.
What a talent. I think if he's at his best, or if he just has a decent game or half decent game, Chelsea got a chance. He's that big of a player. And yes, he's only 18, and it's not the type of pressure that you'd want for a teenager, but you look at Lamine Yamal at Barcelona, he's wearing the number 10 jersey. He's almost welcoming that pressure. I think Estevão needs to do the same.
Yeah, he's also a Brazil national. I mean, we saw he scored for them against Senegal not so long ago. Prior to that, that last minute equalizer against Liverpool.
Yeah, he's
clutch performance.
I wish I could go on and on about this player, but I have to remember that he's also a rival player, and I am a football fan, but also an Arsenal fan more so. So I don't want to sing his praises too much. I also don't want to rob the listeners of fair analysis. So he's such a talent, man. Yeah. He's so good.
Let's shed the light on Pedro Neto, because I've been very impressed from what I've seen this season, at least. I mean, you know, the likes of Cole Palmer's been injured. Nicholas Jackson, of course, moving on. Two new strikers coming in. But I think Pedro Neto has been somebody who's really put this team, I don't want to say single-handedly in second place, but he's really done his part here.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of disagree also. I think Pedro Neto, I think maybe the jury's still not out with him, because he almost feels like a youngster, but he's been in the league for what, like almost 10 years now, or 8 years, 6 maybe. But it's... Do you remember Jesse
Lingard? The output not good enough?
Not good enough for me. And it's, I think eventually he's going to get moved on to a club not competing for the same honours that Chelsea are competing.
Yeah.
I think he could be at a West Ham next season. Newcastle maybe is the best level he can get. I just look at wingers at Newcastle, like, you know, perhaps your Anthony Langer, your Anthony Gordons.
Yeah.
Those are better players than Pedro Neto. I also look elsewhere in the league at some of the other clubs. There's a lot of wingers that are better than Pedro Neto, and perhaps he's impressed you. He has impressed me in some games, but I'm not getting carried away and to say that he's the truth.
Okay, then where are the goals going to come from this Chelsea outfit? Because currently they've scored 23 league goals. Yeah. That's second only to Arsenal.
You know what's who actually impressed me the most, and I've been his biggest critic since he joined Chelsea, is Enzo Fernandez. The way he's crashing the box so late, and, you know, I mean, if Barcelona didn't play that unreal offside line in midweek, he could have also had a couple of goals to his name, a couple of assists. He's just, yeah, the way he's, I think his box crashing skills are now sort of coming to light for me, and I think he's adding that to his game. He's always been a good passer. He's always been, you know, good at retaining the ball, keeping possession, moving the ball quickly, slowing it down when he needs to. Good level-headed player. But now that he's adding goals to his game, he's probably
complete
one of the players.
Complete
is also, yeah, that's he's almost complete.
Yeah.
He's almost complete.
All right. Looking at the starting lineup against that Barcelona outfit, Chelsea opted for players like Marc Guerella, Trevoh Chalobah, Wesley Fofana, Malo Gusto. In front of them was Moises Caicedo and Reece James. Do you think that setup is going to be the one we're going to see this weekend?
It's tough because, you know, I personally didn't think Chelsea were going to beat Barcelona in midweek, but the fact that they did also doesn't surprise me. The fact that they did it emphatically also doesn't surprise me, is because the reason Chelsea have good head-to-head records against these teams that play expansive and high-tempo football, like your Liverpools, your Barcelonas, your Tottenhams, it kind of suits Chelsea in a way. Playing against, you know, your Arsenal-like teams, your Inter Milan, your Atletico Madrids, I don't think Chelsea really have it as easy as they'd like to against these sort of teams. So I'm curious to see how the setup is going to be. I think Reece James is probably their best defender, so he has to play. It's just a case of whether he plays in midfield like he did in midweek or at right back. But in saying that, I don't think it's a game where Arsenal are really going to be, you know, pelting shots at Sanchez. It's going to be a bit more doggy than that, I think.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't that long ago when we were here discussing the youthful inexuberance that existed at Chelsea on account of the red cards. I mean, it was like successive red cards, and you just never knew who was going to be next, but you knew the red card was coming.
Yeah.
What have you seen so far? Any changes?
Perhaps changes in personnel, because some of those players who are getting red cards are now injured. So we don't really know if they've learned from that. I think, namely, Liam Delap. You saw he's made a few cameo appearances since he's returned from injury. He's still kind of, you know, talented player, but he still also just makes me worried when I watch him. And I think if I was a Chelsea supporter, I would always kind of watch with one eye closed, because you never know if he's just going to snap at the opposition and, you know, get a red card because of that disciplinary record that you're talking about. So, yeah, I think against a hard-knocking Arsenal defense, there's going to be a lot of frustration. So it's just a case of how Chelsea keep their head.
Yeah. You know, the last time I checked, Chelsea on an incredible run of clean sheets. It wasn't just that midweek one against Barcelona, but their last three Premier League fixtures, they've registered clean sheets.
Yeah, in fact, it's six clean sheets for them, and it's just Arsenal who have more. So these are the two best defenses in the league. It's the two best teams, as the table suggests. So it makes for an emphatic encounter. And I don't know, if you're going to tune in on Sunday at 6:30 South African time, expecting to see goals galore, perhaps look elsewhere, perhaps watch highlights of some of the Saturday games, because I don't think this game is going to give you that. It's going to be a tactical battle of, it's going to feel like a war.
Yeah, a tactical battle at the bridge is what Jesse Nagel is calling it. Is that your prediction as well?
Yeah, I do think a tactical battle favours Arsenal. I think the way Chelsea kind of would want a high tempo game, I think Arsenal now have the experience to kind of slow it down, which Barcelona didn't. There were times where Chelsea kind of just, you know, applied, you know, pressure 100 miles an hour for Barcelona, and they had the chance for a goal kick to just slow it down, calm the crowd, calm the nerves, calm everyone, calm the entire football pitch, and they just chose to remain at high tempo. I think Arsenal won't do that.
Yeah.
Clean sheets as well. I think Arsenal are going to be hard to break down. Probably going to go with a 1-0, maybe 2-0. Gunners victory.
Gunners victory.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, are Chelsea title contenders? I mean, I know second place.
No. Everyone's a title contender at this stage of the season until, let's say, December, which is literally next week. And if Arsenal win and it's 9 points against Chelsea, it's 10 points over Man City, I don't even know the gap against Liverpool, because I've completely written them off completely. So, yeah, I think as an Arsenal fan, you kind of always have to be nervous finishing second. You need a minimum 10-point gap just to, like, ease your own nerves. But, yeah, I'm not looking at the rest of the league and thinking, you know, they're a good run away from competing. I genuinely don't.
Okay. That was Sunday's fixture. We're going to kick things off with Saturday now. Brentford are hosting Burnley. Now, of course, we know Scott Parker's men with a spirited performance against Chelsea last time out, but were left with nothing to show.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't impressed with Burnley the way I had been. I think maybe that just left a sour taste in my mouth, but I think Brentford could get the job done quite comfortably this weekend. Last week, you know, they lost to Brighton, but they did take the lead, and then they also had a chance late in the dying stages of the game to equalize with Igor Thiago missing a penalty. So
yeah,
full value for their results, and I think they're going to win this one.
Okay, moving along, we've got Sunderland hosting Bournemouth. Now, we know Bournemouth are currently languishing, I don't want to say closer to the mid-table spot. That recent draw didn't help their case, and, you know, now they're winless across their last three.
Yeah, it doesn't make for good reading, of course, but if you look at the performances, I mean, Bournemouth, and I don't know if that's what they're going to give you this season, good performances and not great results. I suppose time will tell with that, but I think the difference that Semenyo makes, obviously him missing last week, what a difference. But in saying that, you know, Bournemouth tested Areola. I think it was like 20-something shots. I don't know the exact number, but, you know, it was constant pressure. And the entire second half was just played in West Ham's half. So, you know, Bournemouth will apply pressure. Sunderland, on the other hand, they do have all the minerals and the tools to cope with that. So perhaps another draw.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Winless in four for Bournemouth?
Yeah, there would be. But moving along to Sunderland then, their recent performance against Fulham led much to be desired, to be honest.
It did. But I think away from home at the Stadium of Light, it's you know, it's almost two different teams. I think the Black Cats are far more better in front of their home crowd. I think, I don't know if it's just, you know, tasting the Premier League again. Maybe it was just a great start to the season, and now that the last international break is done for the year, we could see Sunderland sort of slip into the bottom half again of where most people kind of had them at the start. So I suppose time will tell, and that's why I don't want to be too bullish on them just yet. But I think Bournemouth could get a draw. Sunderland could get a draw. I think both teams would actually happily take a point. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've got Manchester City hosting Leeds United. Now, we know City have been hit with back-to-back defeats. Surely Guardiola is expecting a reaction this weekend.
If you're a fantasy Premier League player, like myself, triple captain Haaland.
Yeah.
Because I will. And I think it's going to be a demolition, a huge response from...
Yeah. Just what is your points tally last week?
We don't need to dwell on the past. This is a preview for the upcoming fixtures. Let's leave last weekend.
Okay, we've learned from our mistakes. That's all I'm saying.
Learning from your mistakes is key in football.
All right.
But yeah,
it's going to be hit with a couple of lessons this weekend.
I think the team in midweek that Pep Guardiola put out in the Champions League was almost... I don't want to say forfeiting that fixture, but he almost waved the white flag and said, you know what, Premier League is our be-all and end-all, at least for this week. He rested Haaland. He rested so many other key players. They lost in midweek. They lost the last Premier League game to Newcastle as well. They need a response, and I think they're more than capable of, I'd probably say 4-0, 5-0. Pick a number.
Yeah.
Yeah, just draw a number out of hats and go with it. I think this is going to be a fun watch.
All right. Next up, we've got Everton hosting Newcastle United. Now, of course, you know, it was the Magpies that inflicted that 2-1 defeat to the Man City last weekend.
Yeah, but also how big is that squad to deal with, you know, Premier League, high-tempo Premier League football and Champions League? Of course, they went to France in midweek and played against Marseille. So are they equipped? I know they've been doing it for a couple of years now, but Everton's a tough ground to go to. And, you know, they've come off a commendable victory themselves, beating Manchester United, ending their 5-game unbeaten run with 10 men. So, yeah, both teams coming to it with probably their chest out. But yeah.
Do you think David Moyes would be just looking at this to ignite their season, or rather reignite their season?
I think their season's reignited on Monday. That win at Old Trafford was... That was what David Moyes needed more than anything. Mm. Just to, you know, silence his old former employers, get his season back on track, despite the internal issues with, you know, the fight between Michael Keane and Idrissa Gueye. Of course, you saw him get a red card, so he'll miss this one. Despite all that, they still come out on top, and I think that is a huge indication of what's to come.
Okay. 3 points for Moyes and the boys?
Yes, I think 3 points, perhaps... A clean sheet as well. Yeah, it could be another clean sheet for Everton.
Okay. Next up, we've got Tottenham Hotspur hosting Fulham. It's a London derby on our hands at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Who's hosting Fulham? I don't recognize that club.
Gosh, surely Thomas Frank needs a bit of damage control. I'm sure he was left stunned by Eze Nketiah. I know we've discussed this at length, so we won't delve too much on the Arsenal side of things. But looking at Tottenham Hotspur, should he be worried about the attack? We spoke about the XG, or rather lack thereof.
Yeah, what was it, 0.06 against Arsenal? You know what's funny is and these things, you know, football's a very reactionary sport. For the first time in the Thomas Frank tenure, fans were almost disgruntled or unhappy, and not at the results, because, you know, they didn't have the right to win. Pre-match, what was their last victory, like 15 years ago, or I can't even remember the stats. So they didn't have the right to win. It's just how they set up, you know, wasting time in the like first 10 minutes when the game is 0-0. And you could argue that that's them just trying to ease the crowd, but...
Or playing for a point, because maybe they didn't feel like...
Not in the first 10 minutes, though, Desh. It's not... I don't know, if you just want to get the crowd on your side, and especially now it's a London derby, you know there's hatred. Homes are divided in England over this. So if you're a father and your son is a Tottenham supporter, you've got him doing chores all week. Tottenham's home form as well, it doesn't even, you know, make me think that they could turn the corner against Fulham. I don't know, it's a London derby. I'm really not sold on Tottenham, and maybe that's me wearing my heart on my sleeve, but I can see Fulham getting a result here.
Yeah. You know, speaking about Fulham, they had, I think, just one win from their opening 9 or 10 league fixtures. I mean, there has been an upturn in form, two from their last three, but...
Yeah, that's usually everyone's form until they play Tottenham. but yeah, look, I think beating Sunderland last week, it was an impressive result. Being a North London, not North London derby, but just a London derby, it will, you know, lift them, motivate them. There's players there in that camp who have a undying hatred for Tottenham. You know, Alex Iwobi, Emile Smith Rowe, maybe not so much Bernd Leno, but there's Arsenal Academy boys who are there who are looking at this fixture and they're rubbing their hands, licking their lips, and they're thinking, now's the time to really make a mark and perhaps dent Tottenham's season even further and get them out of the European places.
All right. A smashing grab performance from them on the night?
I think so, yeah.
All right. On Sunday, we've got Crystal Palace welcoming Manchester United to Selhurst Park. The Eagles undefeated at Selhurst Park this season in the league.
Will there be a more convincing victory this weekend? probably not. But look, I think Manchester United spending so much on attack in the transfer window and then not being able to rely on them, of course, with Sesko injured, Matheus Cunha injured, it had a huge impact on how they progressed the ball forward. And much has been discussed of their formation and, you know, the double pivots of Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro. You can almost bypass that if you've got a front three of Cunha, Sesko and Mbeumo. When you take two of those players out and now you still have to rely on the creativity of Bruno while still relying on his defensive abilities as well, this holes and cracks start to open. So,
yeah. I mean, you've got Casemiro, who isn't exactly a spring chicken.
40, 45, yeah. 46. I don't even know how old he is now. It's next year is going to be his last World Cup. But not to doubt his quality or anything, I think he is good. It's just that there's fresher, younger legs in the Crystal Palace team. I mean, Adam Wharton, he's probably going to come up against Casemiro. I mean, I know who I fancy in that duel. So, yeah, I think Crystal Palace win this one, and perhaps it's back-to-back defeats for Amorim now.
Yeah. Do you not think that with their midweek fixture against Strasbourg in the Conference League, it could have a part to play in this one? We spoke about the lack of squad depth at other Premier League clubs, and you know, I'm looking at Crystal Palace and thinking it's a very similar case.
Yeah, perhaps you do have a good point there. So I think time will tell on how they set up for that fixture and how much they prioritise it. But I think from where they are in the Premier League, what's it now, third place or in the top four, they're definitely punching above their weight. So they'll need to keep on doing that, because the more points they accumulate now, you know, it'll help them in the long run when they do actually drop a few points, catch up with them.
Yeah, we know the December fixture schedule does not discriminate whatsoever; it just comes in.
None whatsoever. So, Crystal Palace, I think regardless of how Thursday goes, I can see them beating Manchester United, and I think Manchester United, it's probably the best time to play them, so you don't even need to be at your best to get 3 points. And I say that in a respectful way, of course.
Just wipe that smirk off your face. Our next fixture takes us to the London Stadium, where West Ham will play host to the mighty Liverpool.
Yeah, hey, it would be unfair of me to criticise Manchester United like I just did and then to give a pass to Liverpool, but my goodness, they are bad. They are so bad, and questions need to be asked of the manager.
Are you talking about Liverpool or
Liverpool? I think West Ham have somewhat turned a corner now, and, you know, going 2-0 up against Bournemouth last week, yes, they, you know, succumbed to a 2-2 draw, but that was because of the amount of pressure that Bournemouth put them under. Areola had the best, okay, Eze had the best individual performance last week, but Areola was undoubtedly second for me, and I've watched almost all the games since on that. So, yeah, I think he just needs to have another half-decent performance to keep Liverpool out. Liverpool don't have great finishers at the moment. Mohamed Salah is not the player he was a couple of years ago. In fact, last year, not even a couple. So,
yeah,
Ekotike, Isak, Gakpo, no one really frightens me if I had to wear a West Ham shirt. So, I can see either a win, either a draw for West Ham, but more misery for Liverpool. And I'll be drinking their tears next week.
Where does that misery end, Jesse? Because you know, you mentioned
long
next week
continue.
they've got Sunderland and Leeds on the horizon.
Long may it continue. And I think until there's change somewhere, whether it's playing personnel, whether it's the guy who's screaming on the touchline, change needs to happen. And until that happens, I'm gonna continue backing against them and perhaps making a profit out of it as well. So come on, you irons, you hammers.
Next up, we've got Aston Villa hosting Wolves. Now, we know the Villains are currently up into fourth place. Huge turnaround in form from them.
This is a goal difference game for Aston Villa. Aston Villa was so impressive against Leeds last week. Morgan Rodgers. In fact, who impressed me the most was Unai Emre, because Leeds were growing into the game. They started off well. They made Elland Road uncomfortable for Aston Villa, and a few tactical changes, a few tweaks at halftime for Aston Villa from Unai Emre. And the game turned on its head, and Aston Villa just, grew into it and kicked on and applied pressure. The 2-1 scoreline, it could have been more to Aston Villa. And, if anything, this Premier League has shown us this season is that, like I said earlier, you don't need to be half decent to win certain games. And against Wolves is one of those teams where you can almost produce a 4 out of 10 and still get the job done.
10 defeats from their opening 12 league games. I mean,
yeah, those two teams that drew against them, they're probably, knocking their heads against the wall, because how have you managed to do that? It's almost embarrassing at that point. So, yeah, push-ups for everyone in those two squads. But in terms of this weekend, Aston Villa,
only one winner. All right. Our final fixture of the weekend sees Nottingham Forest hosting Brighton. Sean Dyche guiding Forest to two victories from his three league fixtures.
Now they're back. They're back. Nottingham Forest, I think last week was a strong indicator of that. So, they're going to make the City Ground a terrible place to go to this season. And I was actually wrong, and I'll put my hand up and say it. I thought they're going to go through a couple of managerial changes this season. But maybe I could be wrong again, and they actually do that. But I think for now, I'm so impressed with what I see. I'm so impressed with the organization. It almost feels like how it felt under Nuno last season. So Nottingham Forest, I think they're full value for the win this weekend.
Yeah, even against Brighton?
I mean, they could play Liverpool, which they did. And you know how that turned out. So yeah, Nottingham Forest, I cannot back against them now in this current form, especially at their home ground.
All right. Well, Jesse, that brings us to the end of this week's episode of Hit the Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. We're going to have to wait and see how your predictions play out.
Come on, you Gunners.
From all of us in studio, thanks, and goodbye.